This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Welcome to Sunday Commentary, a weekly program designed to break open the Sunday Scripture readings. Join us as we listen to God's Word and seek to grow in our love and understanding for the good news in our lives. And now, Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman.
The liturgical scripture readings for the third Sunday of Easter. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the captain and the court officers had brought the apostles in and made them stand before the Sanhedrin, the high priest questioned them. "We gave you strict orders, did we not, to stop teaching in that name? Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and want to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles said in reply, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus, though you had him killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to grant Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, as is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The Sanhedrin ordered the apostles to stop speaking in the name of Jesus and dismissed them. So they left the presence of the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they had been found worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The responsorial psalm, "I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me."
I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me.
I will extol you, O Lord, for you drew me clear and did not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord, you brought me up from the netherworld. You preserve me from among those going down into the pit.
I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me.
Sing praise to the Lord, you his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger lasts but a moment, a lifetime his goodwill. At nightfall weeping enters in, but with the dawn rejoicing.
I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me.
Hear, O Lord, and have pity on me. O Lord, be my helper. You changed my mourning into dancing. O Lord, my God, forever will I give you thanks.
I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. A reading from the book of Revelations. I, John, looked and heard the voices of many angels who surrounded the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They were countless in number, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessings." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, everything in the universe, cry out, "To the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor, glory and might forever and ever." The four living creatures answered, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshiped. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We'll also come with you." So they went out and got into a boat, but that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but his disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So they said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it, and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore, full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." He then said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that Jesus had said this to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go." He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Carla, we are on the third Sunday of Easter. We're just getting going, aren't we?
Not even halfway through it yet.
That's right. That's right. We are still living as a resurrected people. We've got a lot of Sundays of Easter. And like every Sunday of Easter, we've got some great readings today. Of course, all the first readings will be out of the Acts of the Apostles. And the background for today is that they had several of the apostles arrested and put into prison. They were miraculously freed, and then the angel that freed them told them to go preach in the temple.
Yes, you're right. And the Jewish leaders didn't like what was happening. Now, I want to go back a little bit further to what you were saying with how they got into prison. You know, it was the Sadducees that got with the court officers, the captain that we hear about when the reading opens. It was the Sadducees who were primarily behind that, putting them in jail. And if we remember, Sadducees did not believe in life after death. And here the apostles are talking about the resurrected Lord. That did not go well with them. And they were filled with jealousy, and they ordered that the apostles be confined to the local prison. But during the night, like you said, the apostles were visited by an angel of God who released them and told them, "Go to the temple and continue teaching the people the gospel of life." So in the account given in this reading, the apostles are then brought again before the Sanhedrin. And now this is the highest Jewish court. The same bodies, very likely some of the same judges, were in this collection who were involved in condemning Jesus to death. And the reading tells us that after the apostles were interrogated and released by the Sanhedrin, the apostles rejoiced that they had been found worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. Here the apostles are, standing strong in the face of persecution, strengthened and led by the Holy Spirit. God's grace transformed them from ordinary men, fishermen, tax collectors, into extraordinary apostles, and he can do the same for every one of us. You know, we all have our doubts and our fears, and a lot of us have unhealed wounds, and we have to contend with unhealthy relationships, but we don't have to do it alone. The grace of God is there for everyone who makes themselves available to receive it.
Yeah, and how strong and beautiful their faith was. You mentioned the Sanhedrin. We gave you strict orders, did we not, to stop teaching in that name. So in other words, don't make anything public. Maybe you can talk about them if you're in your little house or apartment or something like that, but do not bring it out in the public. But Peter said, we must obey God rather than men. And that made me think about religious freedom in the state in our country today. Because our culture today is openly hostile towards religious freedom and religious people. We see that in colleges and university policies, Christian speech is deemed hateful propaganda. We saw laws during COVID where they shut down religious worship and access to the sacraments and deemed as not an essential business, if you want to put it that way. We see things in the larger society of trying to still tear down statues or crosses or removing Ten Commandments. So with all of this struggle, we often ask, how is religious freedom viewed today? And this came from Population Research Institute a number of years ago, but it says this, and I think it's very accurate. In the contemporary mind, religious freedom is nothing more than freedom of private worship. This line of thinking holds that as long as you're not dragged off to jail in handcuffs for going to Sunday Mass, your religious freedom has been respected. However, the freedom to live one's faith in the daily life as a full participant in society, in other words, the freedom to exercise one's religion, for example, the First Amendment, has gone the way of the rotary phone. But ladies and gentlemen, this has not always been the case. If you go back to some of our founding fathers, there's a wonderful book called The Christian Life and Character of the Civil Institutions of the United States. And back then, there was a Lord Bacon back in the late 1700s, and he wrote this: "The object of government is to enforce among individuals the observance of the moral law, and states are prosperous in proportion to as this object is attained. But the only effectual sanction to this law is the Christian religion. Hence, a government which neglects the care of religion is guilty of folly." So we see that Christian moral law must be the foundation of a just government. And this was really, our country was founded on these ideals, and how beautiful that is, because the more secular we become, the less free we become. We need to exercise love of God and love of country in our society today. And of course, the prophetic words of John Paul II, he had so many of them. He wrote this some 30-some years ago. He says, "A democracy without values easily turns into openly or thinly disguised totalitarianism. What was at one time dismissed by many as alarmism now has the ring of prophecy." So it is critical that we must put our faith into action in our lives today. And we see in the gospel today how Peter and the apostles are trying to put their faith into action. And Peter, as a professional fisherman, finds out that he can only catch fish with Jesus' help in the scriptures.
And that is so true, right? This gospel reading, it tells us that Peter and the other disciples, they had gone fishing, but they caught nothing until Jesus told them where to cast their nets. And this is so true for all of us. Without the redeeming power of God through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, our lives would be fruitless and our work would be in vain. I love to listen to stories from converts to Catholicism and reverts, you know, people who were raised Catholic, but they stopped practicing. And then for whatever reason, they finally came back to the church because they realized they were fishing in barren water, and that without Jesus in their lives, they caught nothing. Faith is more than just an intellectual knowing, and it's not something that we can conjure up on our own. True faith is a gift from God. And the best part is, this gift comes fully assembled and no batteries are required. But there's a catch. This gift can only be activated by the person who receives it. If we were baptized as children, our parents cannot activate it for us. Neither can the priest who baptizes us or our godparents. They can teach us about the faith and they can prepare us to become disciples of Jesus. But the only way to access that gift of faith is through our own free will. And it starts in our hearts, where we form the words, "I believe."
Alleluia.
You've been listening to Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman, produced at the studios of Mater Dei Radio. For more information about this show, go to materdeiradio.com. That's materdeiradio.com.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdeiradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.